Good morning.
Good morning.
Usually I can tell your voice. Let's wait a half a minute longer and then we'll start.
Okay. I have to leave shortly after, so I think I'll make it.
Then let's get started. Jamie Hood could shabri who ishkin day beat hilu or himu ut hilu ut hilu or himu. Leakta le shame yud he bavafe. The Yehuda shalim b'shem ko Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino alena maasei adena kunernei alena maasei adena kunernehu. The fifth aliyah, which is what we will study today, begins with Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, and completes at verse 32. This is a total of 10 verses. And we all know that the number 10 connects us to the 10 Sephirot. Yesterday I had said that...
Has joined.
I expected Sukkot to be immediately after yesterday's Yah. And I was expressing...
Has joined.
...that there was a reason of relating to the 22 verses of yesterday. But the Sukkot verses do not come immediately, but they will come within this section, I believe. I didn't read it all the way through, but it looked like it was heading in that direction. Verse 23. Vayedaber Adonai Yoheh Waheh Adanu Yo. Yo aheda wanu heyo El Moshe lemor Daber el b'nei Yisrael lemor Bachodesh hashvi Bechad lachodesh Yehi elahem
Has joined.
Sabbaton zikron teruah Mikra kodesh Komalechet avodah lo ta'asu v'hikravtem ishe la'adonai yohei wahei adanu yo yo aheda wanu hei yo v'aydaber adonai yohei wahei adanu yo Yo aheda wandu heyo El Moshe lemor Ach be'asor lachodesh Hashvi hazeyom Ha-kipurim Hu mikra kodesh Yihye lachem Ve'initem et nafshotechem ve'ikravtem ishe l'Adonai yohei wahei adanu yo yohei dawanu heyo v'kol melacha lo ta'asu ve'etzem hayom Azeki Yom Kippurim Hu Lekaper Alehem Lifnei Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Ahei Dawanu Hei Yo Elohechem Ki Koha Nefesh Asher Lo Teune Be'etzem Hayom Haze v'nikreta me'ameha. We call Shama Komilacha Lota Asu Hukat Olam Ladorotehem Bekom Mishvotehem Shabbat Shabbaton Ulachem Weinitem Et Nafshotehem Betisha Lahodesh Vaerev Meerev Aderev Tishbetu Shabbatchem. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We will now go to the English translation and study there. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, again, we have this question, why do we need to be saying the word saying twice? The first verse, and Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, then it says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you don't need to say the word saying again. You almost don't even need to use the word speak. In the seventh month, on the first of the month, it shall be a Shabbat for you, a remembrance of the shofar blast, a holy occasion. You shall not perform any work of labor, and you shall offer up a fire offering to Hashem. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this verse is extraneous. We already know that this is coming from Hashem to Moses and then coming to the children of Israel. So why do we need to have this verse here? But on the 10th of this seventh month, it is a day of atonement. It shall be a holy occasion for you. You shall afflict yourself, and you shall offer up a fire offering to Hashem. And by reading this verse 27, we have the answer to the question I asked. Hashem is inserting the verse 26, and Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, as emphasis, as separation, to reinforce that Yom Kippur, the 10th of the seventh month, is separated from Rosh Hashanah. But why is it separated from? It's separated from because the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is a positive day. Rosh Hashanah is a, it's not a negative day, but it's a day of judgment. The Day of Atonement is not a day of a judgment. But that's what we're taught. We're taught that Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah are connected through the 10 days of Tshuva. But this verse, and Hashem spoke to Moses saying, verse 26, is telling you that there's a separation. It's a reinforcement. It's a transition. Verse 28. Everything I just said to you is my opinion.
Has joined.
You shall not perform any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, for you to gain atonement before Hashem, your God. Do we really need this atonement three times? It said it in verse 27 and twice in verse 28. Rabbi Berg of the Kabbalah Center explained that the word atonement can be parsed as to be at one mint. Atonement is an essence of unification. Judgment is inherent in judgment is separation. Verse 29, for any person who will not be afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from its people. It doesn't say if you're ill. It doesn't say if you have to take water to drink your pills. It says any person. But it requires a level of certainty. Because once people start taking doctor's pills, they are depending on those pills, not Hashem, unless they concentrate. Now, the rabbis have said it's okay if it's a medical issue, you need to take the pills because you're risking your life if you don't, then it's authorized. But the Torah doesn't specify that. And we need to understand the conflict. And we need to understand what is the correct thing for each person to do. Verse 30. And any person who performs any work on that very day, I will destroy that person from amidst its people. So if you don't afflict yourself, your body, the five restrictions that are done on Yom Kippur, then you're cut off from the people. But if you perform work, that's even worse. I will destroy you from amidst your people. Verse 31, you shall not perform any work. An eternal statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It already said in verse 30 not to perform any work. But there's a difference between what verse 30 and verse 31 says. There's a difference between not accepting the afflictions, not to eat, not to drink, not to perfume yourself, not to have sex, not to wear leather. Those are the five restrictions. But doing work is something else. The five restrictions are actions, and work is actions. But there are different levels, different frames of reference. It is a, verse 32, it is a complete day of rest for you, and you shall my computer's jumping, sorry. Verse 32, it is a complete day of rest for you, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the ninth of the month in the evening, from the evening to evening, you shall observe the rest day. Is this saying that the day before Yom Kippur? Is also a rest day? What the rabbis have told us is the ninth of the month is connected to the tenth by virtue of the kaparot is best done on the ninth by virtue of eating a number of meals And the more you eat on the ninth, it's considered as if you fasted on the 10th as well, that you fasted on both days. But the literal meaning is not, it's clear, but it's not clear. Because why is the ninth of the month to be observed as a rest day? Because you need to prepare for that elevation from the physical world in the evening of the 10th day, Yom Kippur, as you eat each meal, which means as you go through the process of the Torah readings, as you go through the process of the Amidot, the standing prayers, step by step, you're elevating to cosmic Bina, which you reach at Nila. But the ninth day, which represents Yesod, is always connected to Malchut, and by resting on the ninth day, you achieve that level. You reach that level of Bina. You reach the connection. The ninth day resting is what allows you to reach Bina on the 10th day. Because Malchut, which is the 10th day, has no light of its own. So it requires this connection from the ninth day to be done differently than the rest of the days of Teshuvah. That's the completion of our study. Does anyone have any questions before we go to the Perkei Avot? So today we are studying Perkei Avot, Chapter 5, Paragraph 5. Asara nisim nasu la'avotenu v'veit hamikdash lo ha'ipila isha me'reach v'sar ha'kodesh v'lo hisricha hisriach v'sar ha'kodesh Me'olam v'lo nira zivug b'veit ha'mitbach ha'im v'lo eira keri l'kohen gadol b'yom ha'kipurim v'lo kibu g'shamim eshel atzei ha'ma'araka v'lo nitcha haruah et amud he'ashan v'lo nimtza pesul ba'omer v'ishte ha'lechem u'lechem ha'par yinim omdim tzufufim u'mishtachavim Rewachim Willo Huzik Nachash Weakra Biru Yerushalayim Beolam Willo Amar Adam Lachavero Tarli Hamakom Shealim Birushalayim. 10 wonders were wrought for our ancestors in the temple. 1. No woman miscarried from the odor of the sacred flesh. 2. The sacred flesh never became putrid. 3. No fly was ever seen in the slaughterhouse. 4. No emission occurred to the high priest on the Day of Atonement. 5. The rains did not extinguish the fire of the woodpile. 6. The wind did not prevail against the column of smoke. 7. No defect was found in the omer, or in the 2 loaves, or in the showbread. 8. The people stood pressed together, yet bowed down and had room enough. 9. Never did a serpent or a scorpion harm anyone in Jerusalem. 10. And no man said to his fellow, "The place is too congested for me to lodge overnight in Jerusalem." We again have no name of who is saying this. Chapter 5 seems to be very different than the other chapters. It almost always has, it's clear who is the sage that is making this statement. Now, these 10 wonders, are they real wonders? Do you think that no serpent or scorpion harmed anyone in Jerusalem on Yom Kippur? Do you think the high priest never had a discharge of semen on Yom Kippur? Is that a wonder? Is that a miracle? What is this list? Is it a contrived list or is it a real list? I can tell you my opinion is it's a real list. But each person has to determine that for themselves. The 6th paragraph. Asara devarim nivre'u be'erev shabbat bein hashmashot ve'elu hen pi haaretz ufi habe'er ufi ha'aton v'ha'keshet v'ha'man v'ha'mate v'ha'shamir v'ha'ktav v'ha'miktav v'ha'luchot v'yeshomrim af ha'mazikim u'kvurato shel Moshe v'yelo shel Abraham avinu v'yesh omrim af tzivat v'tzvat asuya. 10 things were created on the eve of the Shabbat at twilight, and these are they: the mouth of the earth, the mouth of the well, the mouth of the donkey, the rainbow, the manna, the staff, the shamir, the letters, the writing, and the tablets. And some say also the demons, the grave of Moses, and the ram of Abraham, our father. And some say, and also tongs made with tongs. If we add those 4 items at the end, we have 14 items that were created on the eve of Shabbat. What is it really teaching us? The number 14 connects to Malchut. The twilight of Shabbat is a transition period from the daytime of Friday, Yom HaShishi, until the day of rest, Shabbat, Erev Shabbat, the evening of Shabbat. This is the malchut of the six mundane days. It is the manifestation. Well, how can I look at these items and see the significance of this manifestation? The mouth of the earth is what swallowed Korach. I'm not sure what the mouth of the well is. The mouth of the donkey, that's Bilaam's donkey, which belonged to a few other people, but it, the donkey that was able to speak. The rainbow. I just want to emphasize, the mouth of the donkey is not the donkey, but the ability for the donkey to speak, that is what's being expressed by the phrase, the mouth of the donkey. The rainbow. The rainbow is in the month of Keshet. The rainbow is what is God's promise not to bring a flood to destroy the world again. Some say it's his promise not to destroy the world again. It's clearly a miracle. Why did it have to be created before the Shabbat? The Torah says God completed his work on the Shabbat and then he rested. We are told to rest. These 10 or 14 items is how we complete our week. This is how Hashem completed his week. If we truly delve into each of these items, it would help us learn to appreciate the Shabbat more than we already do. That's the completion of our time. While you're unmuting yourself to ask any questions, our classes today are unusual. At 11 o'clock, we will have a Sefer Yetzirah class. At 4 o'clock, a Deep Zohar and a Counting of the Omer. At 7 o'clock, we begin our study, our long night study for Lag BaOmer, which takes place at sundown tonight. Does anybody have any questions? Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful afternoon and evening. And I hope you'll join us for the study for tonight. I think you will enjoy it.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.